Want me to get rid of is that light? Do you need that, or does it matter?
Yeah, what? I think we need that off.
You do need it. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I just opened up my camera light a little bit. All right.
You good to
just
go?
Just talk a little bit so I can get a level, because I won't be able to monitor it much more.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Talk to each other normal.
Dave. George. Hello, George.
What are we going to say about
Kiss?
Perfect. Yeah, all
anytime,
good?
Anytime, guys.
Okay. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 15 of the Classic Pinball Podcast. My name is George, and I'm joined by my co-host, Dave. Hello, Dave.
Hello, George.
Dave, today we're being visited by our friends at the Boston Chronicle. Today we're joined by Raman Cromwell from Boston Chronicle. Welcome, Raman.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
We're so excited that you came today. I've been grinning from ear to ear all week. I guess my question to you is, what made you want to do a segment on Dave?
Well, I'll tell you, we've done a few of these pieces before. I call them game on. So we'll do everything from go hang out with the Celtics bowling to just the other day we did the professional women's hockey team. People don't even necessarily know that there is a professional women's hockey league that is active in Boston, has a team. So we kind of look for things that you might say are a little bit on the fringe for our audience that they might be interested to hear about. And, I'm looking for subjects, and I thought, arcade, stuff like that. And then this name comes up, and I mean, I'm like, a Dr. Dave.
So you didn't have to dig deep?
didn't have to dig too deep. But then the more that I kind of read about him, the more I got interested in him. And then, working in media, you start to think of lines sometimes before you even have the interview.
Right.
I'm like, so the show's game on, and here's the guy who keeps the games on.
Yeah, right. Nice.
So is game on the name of your segment? And is this a recurring segment?
Correct. So this is, I call it, I say it's game on level 3, because this is the third time that we've kind of played with these theme of games we've done. The original segment was kind of featured electronic gaming. So we went into esports to kind of top that off. The second iteration, we ran around a little bit with the new professional rugby team. So as I said, we kind of cover all different areas of gaming. And this is the first time pinball has made an appearance.
All right.
So
awesome.
you're pioneers.
Perfect. I love it.
Again.
So did you learn anything today that you might not have known about before? And if so, what?
I think you perused my website a little bit, though. You've got to do a little bit. Did your homework.
Yeah, you got to a little bit. I can't commit. They always say, in journalism, anytime you ask a question, you should have a sense of what the answer might be.
Right.
You don't want to be completely surprised. But what I'll tell you, what really struck me, and this is something that, I'm used to working in television, so I have to kind of describe it. I have to remind myself this is a podcast. But walking into your game space with the finished machines looking pristine in a way that I've never seen a pinball machine. Anything that I've seen is in the corner of a bar, with a cracked glass, paint all over the ground. Like, you're lucky if it works,
Right.
It's more likely to steal your quarter than to give
exactly.
you a ball to play with.
Yep.
So to see machines.
So you really didn't realize there was a big collector community out there that had warehouses of games. I mean, I own a dozen, which is, you know, substantial, but there are people like Dave and others, and he's one of, believe it or not, many.
You know, I didn't. I had no idea the extent to which, you know, the community was also apparently really active, and stuff that you told me regarding, like, some of the younger players and stuff like that. I was quite surprised, or even the tournament scene,
yes.
You know, is not something that that was on my radar.
I even do tournaments here, too, you know, once in a while. I try to, like, at least twice a year.
In your home?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I try to keep it friendly. I invite friends and so forth, you know, over a friendly competition. Throw some money down.
Nice.
And do like an afternoon of pinball, have a couple beers, a little food. Good times.
I think you have the home court advantage, though. You're probably practicing the week before.
One would think, but that's not always the case.
It's not the case. A lot of times I'm working so much in these games. I work. And like I said to you earlier, Friday night, I might get a couple hours in, you know, and play some pinball. But like, I don't have the time to play them. I'd love to play them, but I don't have time to. So I'm actually coming in kind of cold like everybody else a little bit, but then again I have played these games before, so I have a little bit of advantage,
right? But then you have me, who has a basement full and plays on a regular basis and stinks to join up and Dave takes my lunch money, so
what is that though? You think that, you know, with the practice makes perfect, but...
Well, you know what helps when you play against really good players? You should always try to play with people better than you are. Then I learn, you pick up things. We call it my other friend of mine, Jeff in Maine, called the pinball toolbox. So what tools do you have in your flipper capabilities? You know, can you drop catch, can you tap pass, can you, all these different things you learn, and then you just get better and better at it, and just kind of becomes natural. And it's so satisfying just to do like a drop catch. It's like, oh, I can really do that, you know, and take the shot and make the shot.
I botched.
Oh, you missed that great story.
I did.
Destroyed by my sister-in-law.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Here's what happens when you have free software.
Yeah.
Sometimes this thing tends to shut off, and I don't know, it's because I'm connected via Verizon,
right,
and they decide to drop out or whatever. But I mean, if you care to, we could go do that story one.
The basketball story.
Yeah, it just clicked off.
Before.
I got 5 minutes before that.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be able to hack it up and make it work.
Sure. So yeah, you know, I just got back actually not too long ago. I went to Disney with my wife, two young kids, and my sister-in-law was there, and we were at an arcade, and in the back they have one of those, you know, the side-by-side basketball things. We have the balls. I think they're
hoop
a little
shot, whatever. Hoop it's
exactly, yeah. You know, and I was attracted to it in part being a local guy. I think Larry Bird was on one, and Magic Johnson was on the other. So I get on the Bird one, and then you know, she says, "Let's play against each other." So we go. The timer's going. I'm focused. You know, I'm watching some shots go in. I think I'm doing pretty good.
And you can hear her making hers?
Well, I didn't hear much going on. She wasn't like, you know, like screaming. So I'm thinking I'm murdering her. You know?
Yep.
So time up. You know, I look at my score, 21. I'm smiling about that until I look to my left. And she's at like 58 or something like that. She gets the free play. And then, you know, I'm sitting there. And meanwhile, she's probably about, you know, 5'2".
This is your sister-in-law?
Yeah, and I'm this big, you know.
I have a feeling she might have played the game a few times somewhere.
Something.
Something. You know where those are.
But getting, I can relate to the idea. Getting beat at your own game. I could see you sitting there with the two-player scores up and you look over. And, you know.
Especially, I guess, you know, when people come in, like Eric Stone, he'll come in here and say, oh, that's your high score? Not for long. He'll come in and just have five games on, he'll take it down. It's like, you know what, you got to go.
Hey, but at least you know how to reset the score, so that's,
well, that's true. I need to.
Dave had the high score on my Centaur game for the longest time, you and Jeremy.
Yeah, we did a team. It's called a
Flippers.
And
I finally eclipsed it, but it took me 7 or 8 years to finally get, oh, yeah, well, he's really good. He has his moments, but... Yeah.
Well, that was a little different, too, because Jeremy and I won on each flipper. So I was doing this flipper, he was doing that flipper, and we still got a super high score.
Wow.
Called flippers.
Yeah. So you guys had to do kind of a mind melt.
It's like that movie Pacific Rim.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's like that. And
exactly.
That really works, though, because all of a sudden, if I trust what he's going to do like I am, and we're both good, it'll happen.
It's a thing.
Believe it or not,
it's a thing.
Like, it's timing. It's amazing how you just link in.
Do they have any tournaments like that? Like kind of two-person?
They do once in a while. It's very rare because a lot of people don't get it.
Yeah, I hear private more than like
more
a public.
More private.
Right.
But I would love to do one again to people that are into it. But there's not enough people that are into it that would make it work.
Well, that was from when we were kids. You know, you're running out of money and somebody's got one quarter and it's like, well, it's my quarter. I want to play. Come on, let's play flippers. Uh-huh. And Or somebody was a lot better than you, and it's like, come on, let's play flippers, because I know I might win a couple of games because you're going to play with me, and we can play a little bit longer.
That's cool. That's very cool.
Oh, it's fun.
Great. I think we can cut it there.
Awesome. So, thank you. Thank you guys so much.
That's
really
great.
Appreciate it.
That's awesome.
Chat.
Yeah.
So what I want to do now, just while we have you here in position, I have just a couple quick questions for you that we can kind of cut into that. Cut into our
story. And then we want to do just a brief couple minutes with you.
And then absolutely, as we kind of break down, I'm happy to jump in there.
Cool.
I was reminded of a story. So I worked in New York for 15 years. And we were doing one of those Icy Hot promos with Shaquille O'Neal.
Oh, nice.
So I get to meet Shaquille. I'm all excited.
There you go.
I go up to him. Hi, nice to meet you. And he goes, you need to put a little bass in that voice. Thank you, Mr. O'Neal. Thank you.
I'm not 7 foot one.
I gotta bring it down.
That's 5 times the size.
Exactly. But and so how long have you been doing?
I'm sorry, Ellen's not gonna like it. Let me grab the tripod.
Oh,
we're
gonna put it on sticks.
Oh, too shaky. Too shaky, maybe.
Okay.
There's one trick.
What's 20 years?
How long I've been collecting and how long I know you. I'm trying to anticipate the question.
I was going to say how long I've been podcasting, so.
Oh.
That's that right.
How about 5 months?
Yeah.
4 months.
Right. We're newbies.
Yeah, we're brand new to this.
We like it that way. We're breaking the mold, so to speak.
Yeah, what you're seeing is exactly how we go into it. There are no notes. There are no...
Hold on, I want to get all this.
Yeah, you're going to get all this
stuff. That's the good stuff.
Exactly. Right. Wait for
that's the gold.
No, we shoot from the hip and we shoot often.
So, how long have you been into games and how long have you been doing the actual podcast?
I've been into pinball, 50 years, ever since I was a little kid. But collecting about 20 years, I met Dave via Rec Games Pinball, looking for somebody nearby. In case I ran into issues, it's always nice to have a friend nearby who can bail you out. And Dave did that more than once early on, and we developed a long-term friendship. It's almost 20 years now.
Excellent. How long have you been doing the podcast?
Podcast is only about 5 months. We're approaching, our 15th episode. And we don't record on a regular basis. It seems to come in flurries. We have no script. We kind of freewheel our podcasts and talk about whatever's on our mind. We try to stay pinball-centric, but we go off the rails quite a bit. We have fun with it. We're unlike a lot of other podcasts in that they tend to focus more on tournament talk, the latest news in the business. But when you listen to one podcast, which I listen to, I probably listen to 6 or 7 of them, the repetitiveness is uncanny. It's just... That's why Dave doesn't listen. He gets the abbreviated version from me.
And just tell us a little bit about your audience. I think people are probably shocked to know that there is a huge audience for Pinball Podcast.
The audience thing is something that nobody talks about. I've kind of figured out what I think some of the bigger podcasts do, or at least what they claim. And I think a good podcast will draw maybe 2,000 or 3,000 listeners. It's a real small segment of the podcasting, universe. We draw a fraction of that, but we have loyal listeners, and it's been building every episode. But we're across the board. We just don't talk about games. We talk about arcades. We have a road trip episode. We talked about Pintastic, which is the local pinball show that's coming up in June. So we're all over the board. Actually, I'm going to Houston on Wednesday for a show in Houston, their Arcade Expo, and I'm going to be playing in my first tournament. And they aren't these games that I collect. I collect a lot of the games that Dave does. They're all modern games, and I am just going to get my head handed to me. I know it. It's I don't know the encyclopedia as Dave was talking about earlier.
But he said something earlier that I thought was interesting. That although maybe it's not huge, there are some young people coming into
mentioned it earlier. If you look at the IFPA, which is the International Federation of Pinball, there are 4 under 20, and there are 4 under 20-year-olds in the top 20. One of them's 12 years old. an amazing player. It's just incredible watching these young kids, and I hope more of them get into it. It's a competitive, pinball is competitive. There are some unbelievable players. Dave's got a friend, Eric Stone, who lives in Florida, who is ranked number 14 in the world right now. He was on one of our recent podcasts. He's been a podcast regular, actually. He's pretty funny. So we try to entertain people with a wide variety of subject matter.
Cool. And what's it like working with this guy?
He said it earlier. It's really easy. It comes easy to us because we're good friends. We would have long chats on the phone. And I did try to shop Dave around to some of the podcasts and crickets. And I'm like, it made no sense. Dave's vast knowledge, and he's got great pipes. He's been told that by a couple of broadcasters. He's really got a good voice. He'd be an asset. So I grabbed it and ran with it, and we've had a lot of fun. And hopefully it'll continue for a long time.
Excellent. I'm good.
All right. I just need to get a couple of cutaways.
Cutaways.
I want to do a listening shot. Dave, I want you listening to your buddy. I just need something that the editor can cut to if they need it to.
Do you need us to say anything or just...
Yeah. No, he's going to be... So, Dave, kind of listen and give him a couple of nods.
That's right, George. You're correct again, George.
Yeah, sure.
Great. That's I just want to get a tight shot of the microphone.
$60 investment.
You know, you could have mentioned also
that's
worldwide.
What they cost. You don't have to buy anything really expensive. I mean, you know.
Worldwide listenership.
No, you're listening to the budget podcast.
But we're all around the world. People are listening.
Oh, I didn't even talk about that. We're in a lot of different countries. We're in eight different countries.
Yeah, you want to get it back.
We're in eight different countries.
Hang on a second.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I'll keep you honest.
Yeah, we could go in a lot of different directions. You know that.
All right, whenever you're ready.
One thing that I failed to mention is we're in, I think, eight different countries. We're in Spain, we're in Australia, which is a strong one, Canada, obviously, England, New Zealand, Panama, the Canary Islands. That's a pretty good spattering. We're not in non-English-speaking places.
Antarctica? Are we there yet?
No, we're not in Antarctica.
That's a shame. We got to work on that.
Great. Absolutely. All right, now, Dave, I just want to get you. Can you do that Antarctica line?
George, have we broken Antarctica yet?
No, not yet.
Okay, well, we got to work on that.
Great. Now, George, you're going to give your response.
No, we're not in. What was the response?
Are we in Antarctica yet? Have we made Antarctica?
No, we have not made Antarctica yet, but there's always tomorrow.
Okay, good.
Okay, if Ramin is done, I just need you to step out so I can get a couple of tight shots of the...
Will do.
Yeah.
Dave, I want to thank Ramin Cromwell for taking a couple of minutes out of his busy day to talk to us. What did you think of the experience? Was it what you expected or totally different?
It actually went a lot smoother than I thought. I thought I'd get a little... kind of stage fright on it, and I kept worrying ahead of time, like, what am I gonna say? Do I kind of know what I'm talking about? And it's like, I think I do. I said, I'm just gonna be me. I'm just gonna roll with it. I know this stuff in the back. If I just relax, it'll just flow out. So that's what I wound up doing. Guys were great. Cameraman,
yeah,
Gino, and Ramin. Great guys, a lot of fun. Gino liked playing the Missile Command. He's actually playing. I haven't seen this thing in 20 years. Like, go ahead, have fun, go at it.
Did you see their eyes when you took them downstairs and they turned around and saw all those machines?
Yeah, they looked past me first. I said, no, you guys are missing it. Look that way. Wow, look at all those machines.
Their eyes were as wide as saucers. I was commenting to Maureen, it's really fun to see some people get excited because they really don't live in the world that we live in. We see it all the time. But to somebody who's unfamiliar with the pinball hobby, especially the collector hobby, I think they were dumbfounded by the amount of games that you had.
What I found was a really humbling point for me is when Ramin was saying that, you know, usually when I was playing pinball, I go in this, an old bar or whatever, and there's a dilapidated game. The flippers didn't work. Nothing worked on it. That kind of thing, or it's just trashed. And I come in here, look at your stuff, and how old it is, and how pristine it all is. And so he's just giving me all kinds of praise about it. It's a very humbling experience. You know, it was great getting that from both of them.
Well, it plays to the he's thinking back 30 years ago, where the bar was stashed, or the pinball was stashed in the back of the bar, never to see the light of day, and kind of the seediness of it, where you look at how it's now a feature and out in the open. But he's a young guy with a young family. Certainly he's not going to a barcade on Friday night. I'm sure he wanted to get out of here and get back to his family.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
So really doesn't have the understanding and experience of seeing pinball in the wild now. And I don't think he's alone. I think there's a lot of people out there that are probably sitting, in the same boat as he is.
Yeah, they have no idea until we kind of open his eyes about, the greater pinball community out there, and other people have collections, and the whole collecting community. And we didn't even get into the fact about the barcade thing and all the other stuff out in the wild that there is.
Right. Well, they were focused on, and most people are when they come to visit you at your house with your machines, is how pristine and how new. And it goes back to what I just said about the bar image. They're thinking that you've taken that beat up played machine in the back of the bar home and have done nothing and kept that stinky, smoky mess.
Well, hold on. No, some people will take that. They will throw some Windex on it, but then you're done.
No, but right. But I think that's where the expectations
exactly.
were. And yeah. It's refreshing to see two people get really excited because both of them were looking back at their youth. And I think Rahman said that he was familiar with Fun and Games, that he had visited there when he was when he was a kid, although he looked, he looked like he was probably a 30-something.
Yeah, 30-something. He seemed 30-something.
Right.
Yeah, I think so.
So that would make the sweet spot for him, what, the 90s, I guess?
Probably the 90s, but there really wasn't much there. I mean, a lot of kiddie gambling,
right.
A couple pinball machines,
Yeah, it's, I don't know, I just thought it was interesting, and I find it more interesting every day that, I'm a little bit on the older side and don't really understand the experience of people that are 25 or 30 years younger than me. They see the pinball, collecting hobby and the playing in a totally different construct than I do.
Mm.
I mean, I'll play any pinball. I don't, ramper or not, I don't care. But it's just funny perspective-wise. Because neither one of them lit up and said, oh, I remember that.
Yeah, they didn't. That's
so
right.
So that tells me, George, you're getting a little bit older and that these machines are getting pushed a little bit farther back.
Although Gino he's seen almost our contemporary, especially he remembered Missile Command. So he knows that game. So
right, he was a little bit young. He's a little bit younger
and
than us.
He might not have been a pinball guy either. He might have been a video guy at that point.
Well, right. Maybe. Well, because they were getting ripped out of the arcades, and for
right.
the most part, the only thing you could play was video type games. I thought it was also interesting that they were looking at the play fields real closely and said, "Did you repair these?" And I know you can't go into a long dissertation about, no, you can buy new old stock.
Right.
But that, that's just kind of lost on, a public forum like Boston Chronicle. Those people could care less. It's, hey, there's pinball again? Wow. Oh, we're sitting here in our rocking chairs, Margaret. Look over there. Those are all the games that we played when we were kids.
They're 40 years old. They look like they're brand new.
Right.
Wow.
Look at that. I'd never thought for a million years, right? I'm guessing, I don't know what the audience is for Chronicle, but it sounded like this gaming thing was, again, living in New Hampshire, I watch my Chronicle in New Hampshire. It's rare unless, you're going to be on TV or, there's somebody calls me up and says, hey, I'm going to be on Chronicle to go watch the Boston version of it. I mean, it's basically the same thing. It's just your backyard.
It's it's great because, for many reasons, but Chronicle interviewed me way back when I first started in this business, and now they've come back around again, and I don't even know if they realize, you know, there's a whole new crew that is interviewing me again. But now, from back then to now, you know, things have changed. I've kind of matured in my business, and I've got, you know, really got going with a bunch of different variety of games and so forth than earlier. But it's neat, this and his whole take on Game On. I think it's kind of a younger audience, it sounds like, from what he had. It sounds like more of a younger gaming audience. Oops, Kitty.
Dave, were there any questions that you were unprepared for that Rahman asked you? Or do you think it was, you know, standard operating procedure? He pretty much asked you the standard questions.
Yeah, there was one that kind of threw me a little bit. I wasn't quite ready for it. Was the artwork question? Like, I forget what the question was. Like,
oh, I do. He was asking you, are there any famous artists? And I think he was looking for you to say, oh, well, Andy Warhol or Keith Haring.
Oh,
or,
okay.
You know, he was looking for, you know, I don't think he was looking for Rembrandt and Monet, but
I think that's where he was going.
I think that's where he was going, and I'm like, I'm not even sure I could answer who a contemporary artist would be. I mean, would you be able to recite who's today's contemporary artists?
No.
You done over there?
what are you doing?
hey, noisy.
Hey, Sharon, settle down.
No, it's just a big mouse over there. Chewing the cheese.
Wait a minute. No, that's a chipmunk.
No.
There's a certain feeder that's happening. No?
Don't worry, Maureen. We'll make fun of you a little bit more.
Oh, sorry. I thought you guys just hanging out.
That's okay.
Talking.
We are
hanging out talking.
We are talking. That's talking. Our whole shtick.
That's how we do it. That's how we roll, man.
That's our whole shtick. So to get back to answering, we'll probably leave that in.
I'll leave it in.
I think he was looking for us to come up with somebody that he recognized, but as I was saying, I don't think I could come up with a contemporary artist that somebody would Joel de Guzman.
Joel de Guzman, exactly. That comes to
or,
mind.
You know, hey, Christopher Franchi, or who's the other, the new guy? Johnny Crap.
Johnny Crap?
Yeah, he's the one
that's the guy that made the toilet, the crapper.
No, that's John Crapper. No, this is Johnny Crap. He, I think he did the artwork on the latest Star Wars for Stern.
Does this stuff stink? Oh, just kidding.
What's no.
Hold on. Bad joke. Thank you.
Anyway, yeah. You're good for at least one of those on every show. No, I mean, pulling the curtain back, I mean, I think that's probably what most people... there wasn't anything I was surprised by, you know, other than Gino, the cameraman, saying, hey, would you do that again and say this again? I knew where he was. He had my heart. He doesn't like to edit, and I don't blame him. He was like, Dave, do you mind saying that again?
Oh, so he's like getting certain pieces that he can kind of puzzle together.
I got to believe when these two guys go back to the office, I'm guessing Dave, with the influence of Rahman, will say, okay, here's the storyline. They've got, like we do, they had the complete picture. They're going to watch once through it and go, okay, we got all this footage. How do we make a coherent, what did he say, 4-minute story?
I think he said 4 to 7 minutes. Was it 7 or 4?
I said 7. I thought I heard 4 out of him. But it's,
okay.
We'll time it when it happens, yeah. But... You know, he interviewed, that was what surprised me. He interviewed you for, I stopped recording. I had it on my phone. I stopped recording after 20
minutes. Maureen has the whole thing.
He recorded you. He said, oh, we're going to only do 20 minutes. He did at least 35 minutes of recording.
So it's going to be, you said, what did you say 4 minutes for? It's going to be a 20 minute recording, right? He said 4
no,
minutes.
No, but I'm saying how much of that 35 minutes ends up on the editing room floor. He's going to make a story out of it. You're not going to be on Chronicle for a half an hour.
No, but you say I'm going to be on Chronicle for 4 minutes, you think? You think it's a 4-minute segment?
I think it's going to be a little bit more than that, but okay. Yeah. I think he said you're going to be the standalone at the end.
Oh, that's what, okay.
Right? So, I don't watch Boston Chronicle, right. But if it's like New Hampshire Chronicle, it's feature story, second story. They got this guy, Fritz Weatherby, who does this, you know, New Hampshire thing where he visits all these places around New Hampshire. The weather, clothes. So, I'm guessing you'll be the second story, or if they don't have the Fritz Weatherby thing, you're the third entry. Because a half-hour show is edited down to 22 minutes. That's it.
Oh, so it's only a half-hour show.
Well, it's actually 22 minutes because you got to put 8 minutes of commercials in every half hour.
So that's a lot of content from all you got to cram
in. Right, well, you got to, you know, you got the opening, Chronicle, right. You know, they play the theme song and all that jazz. I don't even know. Do you even know who the hosts are on Chronicle?
I haven't watched it in quite a
while. Well, we probably, it's almost 7:15, so.
We can find out right
so
now.
We can find out in a few minutes and find out who the hosts are. Forgive me, I don't live in Boston, but we'll find out. And it'll be interesting to see how they overdub the segment, because Rahman just asked us the questions. He's not part of the show. He goes, no, I'm not part of the shot. I'm not part of the show. So that leads me to believe that you're not going to hear him at all.
No, you're not going to hear him at all. And that was actually surprising me. I thought he was actually the interviewer and the guy.
Well, especially for this Game On segment.
Right.
I'm figuring, like, he's the feature reporter. Hey, you know, I'm Rahman Cromwell here with Game On Sports. You know, today we're visiting Dr. Dave O'Neill in Marlborough, Massachusetts. You know, yada, yada, yada. And he does his, you know, opening script.
Well, I'm wondering how they're going to do that. Like, how are they going to have the back shot of whoever's going to ask me the question? What's going to be in the back of them for a shot? It looks like they're in the room with me. You know, I don't know how they're going to make that magic on TV.
And that's going to make for another show when we do a post-listening party, because Dave's going to have a monster party here. We're all going to sit and watch around his big screen TV.
Yes.
Now I forgot the question I was going to ask you. Or the observation?
Is it about the back shot of the people asking me a question? Is it part of that gig with the interviewers that we're not going to see?
Oh, you know, how are? Oh no, now I know what it is, and it's going to infuriate you. Oh, here comes Janice. Let's take a bet. Do you think that they are going to say the words "pinball wizard"?
Oh boy, I was ready for it too. I was ready for the question,
and your response was going to be
no. I'm the pinball doctor,
which would have been great.
Would have been great. And you were saying, George, originally we should tell the guy before he gets in the house, listen, you're not going to mention pinball wizard.
But he never
at all.
Did.
But he never did, which I thought was
right,
great.
But we don't know who's doing the overdubbing and how they're going to phrase these questions.
They could ask a totally different question, and my answers to a different question. I don't know. Hopefully not. Hopefully
hey, Dave, it's... you're some kind of pinball nerd, aren't you? Well, yes,
well,
of course
yeah,
I
right.
am.
Exactly. It can go any way.
Hey,
who knows?
George, your voice really is terrible. Did you know that? Of course I did. I mean, you know, but that's... Hey, I place faith. He's a good guy. He's going to hear this before we see his. So,
sure.
So, hey, Rahman, do us a solid.
Yes, Rahman.
You know... Do us a solid, if you listen to this, and make sure that we're represented not like these two kooks that live in a basement and do a podcast. That's like, you know, I don't live in my mom's home. I own my own home. You know, I'm not sequestered down there. That's not me, and that's certainly not Dave.
No. Uh-uh.
But that's what people...
Yeah, there's some kooks out there, but we ain't them.
Well, no. You never mind. I'm not even gonna go. You're not baiting me. You did pretty good.
I did.
You had that big piece of cheese there in the trap. But I'm smart enough to
know. Come on, George, bite it.
I know what the trap does. It goes snap. Nope. 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 Nope.
Not yet anyway.
Nope. 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 Nope.
Gee, George, you're real smart, aren't you, George?
Yeah, real smart.
I can't think of anything else that took place that was unusual. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. I'm just wondering what it's going to look like. I'm wondering what, you know, Pumpkinhead's going to look like on TV. That would be me.
Pumpkinhead.
Yeah. Got a large cranium. No, not that kind of hat. Just a big hat.
A poopy hat?
No, we're not. Let's not go down the poop emoji thing again, please. Although, we do have to get those hats. Maybe we'll...
We'll have Eric buy us maybe, some. Maybe, Eric should go buy
no,
some
No, I
tokens.
Saw them online. They're like $5. Maybe that'll be our we'll do that for Christmas. We'll wear those instead of dressing up with a Santa Claus hat, which would be like everybody.
Yeah, poop emoji.
We'll put on the poop emoji hat with the Santa Claus beard.
That
How's
sounds
that?
Good. I like that.
Poopa Claus.
Yeah, Poopa Claus.
I'm going to hell now.
Merry Poopa Claus.
Well, no, he's not a religious figure.
Yeah, he's not a religious
figure
at all.
He's just some guy made up to sell a lot of crap.
And that concludes another episode of the Classic Pinball Podcast. I'd like to extend my thanks to Rahman Cromwell of the Boston Chronicle, producer, and to my co-host, Dave. Dave, you did a fantastic job, and I look forward to seeing you in the movies. Well, that was something certainly different. So to all of you out there, be good and be well.
I want to tell everybody, keep those spinners spinning. And have a blessed day and be grateful.
Today we're going to talk about Kiss, but not the Kiss that most people know. We're going to talk about Bally Kiss Suspect, whether it's 1978 or 79. Does it really matter? It's decades ago.
Exactly. Yeah, 79. Great game. This game was actually supposed to be, Kiss really wanted this to be the first talking and real music coming out of it game for the time. They wanted to be cutting edge. Fortunately, the budget wasn't there for Bally to do that. Xenon got that honor instead, so this game had to settle with just some of the Kiss tunes done by a sound card with little beeps and boops and tones instead.
A little bit different than what they do today.
Yes.
Let's focus on what we normally do, is give a rundown of the specs on the game. We know that this game is done by Jim Patla, right?
Patla.
Right? He was the designer, and the artist is a gentleman by the name of Kevin O'Connor.
Kevin O'Connor, yes. Yeah, he did a lot of Bally games.
Okay, yep. I'll put you on the spot.
Yeah, sure, you'll be on the spot. I need my list in front of me.
Yeah, no, I know. We're flying without a net today. That's okay.
That's all right.
That's okay.
We'll do it in post-production.
Right. Let's talk a little bit about the game itself.
Well, let's see. It's Gene Simmons and the rest of the crew on there. This particular copy is, I actually got, this is one of the first games I ever bought. Bought it for like, I think like $1,000 back in the day, not working. And playfield was torn up, so I got it touched up. I automotive clear coated, so now it looks like a new old stock clear coated playfield, and the ball just flies around the field. And I basically brought this to my look and play like new spec.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that. You alluded to playfield protectors upstairs, the cheap bands clear coat. I haven't done a clear coat recently, but I'm guessing we're up in what, the $500 range to have a playfield clear coated?
Yeah, if you can find a guy to do it. Sometimes
a good guy to do it.
Yeah, you can go to Jim Bob's Auto Shop and maybe they'll spray it for you, but might be some bugs and dust in it.
Well,
you know,
might be taking your chances with it as well.
Exactly.
Especially with something so valuable as this game. Sister games, 1979.
Let's see, Dolly Parton.
Well, were those the only two artists that they did back in the day?
Let's see, Kevin O'Connor, and you got Paul Farris,
right?
You know, Paragon upstairs. They did that.
Right, but I'm saying other bands, not
other
like
bands.
Like,
yeah,
today.
Rolling Stones.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
they were eyeballing that earlier.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I got a Rolling Stones cabinet all repainted by a good friend Dave. Good to go.
Right, Dave Mitrando, doing your cabinets. And the one thing that I wanted to point out, you didn't say it earlier, was the feel of a cabinet. When you look at these cabinets, your hand goes and glides across it really nice. There is no differentiation between the colors. That's an art in itself.
It sure is, especially these days. The paint on these cabinets were done with, I don't know if it was lead-based or whatever it was. But
steel plates, right, that they just put
on
this.
They just threw down these brass plates. Brass plates, throw them down, done, keep them going on an assembly line. So whatever paint they use, they didn't have to use too much at all, real quick. The paints they're using nowadays to do this stuff, you actually have to lay down thicker so you can feel something on there. You can feel an edge.
The other thing we need to talk about is the number of games produced. This was in the high range for 17,000 is what I read.
Yep.
So, and you see these from time to time, but I know for a fact you don't see them looking like this.
No, I haven't found one looking like this.
You guys okay?
Yeah, we're awesome.
Oh, no, we didn't cover it at all.
We didn't cover it all.
No, we left out the most important part. We'll hack it up and then we're done.
Let's uncover it.
Okay. You want to sell a specific game. It's the game that's going to be on Chronicle.
Yes.
That game would be Kiss. So, I'll do the pitch. Hey, boys and girls. Want a really, really nice Bali pinball game from 1979? It's a four-letter word. It's called Kiss.
Yes,
Dave's going to sell the Kiss that you see on Chronicle.
Mm-hmm.
So get out your wallet, grab all those little green pieces of paper, go to Dave's website, call him up, and give him all your cash.
Well, not all the cash, but a substantial portion.
Right. Well, that you can talk about, but he's selling Kiss. So first come, first serve.
Just in time for Christmas, kids.
That's right. He doesn't have anything else. It's only this game. So get them while they're hot.
Exactly. And it's hot.
We don't have five yet, do we?
I forgot.
Episodes, yeah.
I forgot. I want to ask 15, one more question. When are we going to see this episode air?
Right. So our turnaround is generally about in the 3-week range. So it'll be early December as well.
Oh, right. Christmas time. Awesome.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Somebody want to get that machine fixed just in time for Christmas.
Sale. I'm going to be selling it didn't
make Chronicle, but it's going to make our podcast. Dave wants to sell this.
Yeah,
this
I'm ready to let Kiss go. For the right price, I'm ready to let her go. Yep.
Can we do, I did last year the show, and it was basically like for sale, like rare items for sale. We had an island in the Cape that was up for sale.
Wow.
Yeah. Got a great pinball machine like new Kiss.
Sure.
So